Hi, and welcome to, we haven't even tested. Let's test. Okay, mine sounded good. Go, you go.
Am I sounding good? Are we going to have little baby gurgles in the background? That's pretty cute.
Yeah, we are. Welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We are here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, I'm a master of wine, Meg Brotman, and we are back for 2024.
2024, new year, new baby. So we're just discussing whether or not we're going to hear little Billy gurgling away in the background. If you do, it just shows that we're authentic and this is a woman, a mother, who can do anything.
Yeah,
so well done.
She is 4 weeks old at the moment.
I know, right? And 2 weeks ago you decided, yes, we can do this.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, okay. And I'm like, whatever. I did text you the other day saying you're still good for it because we can postpone it.
Yeah.
But you're looking very shiny and bright and actually well slept.
Yeah, no, she's sleeping pretty well. And I just like, it feels nice to still kind of like use your brain a little bit and not
I think you're a natural, Mel. You're a natural mum. Well done. She's beautiful, everyone. She's a little blondie with big blue eyes.
She is. We love her. And I have had people asking what my first drink was. And it was, of course, Billy Cart champagne for Billy.
Of course, for Billy. So there's Billy Button, there's Billy Cart.
Yes. Oh, Billy Button, of course. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We have Button.
So much Billy-related wine. And thank you to everyone who messaged. And everyone's been missing us, Meg. The Instagram has had a lot of messages, people saying that they don't know what to do with their Fridays.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what have I been listening to? Pod Save the UK.
Oh, you love that. You are such a political person.
That's my Friday morning now.
Well, you know what? The fact that you're into your politics and everything is a good segue because we are changing up the pod a little bit this year. One in every three episodes, so once a month, we are going to do a news episode because we realized that there's a lot of people listening that actually really care about kind of news and affairs going on around the wine industry. And it doesn't need like, as much tasting or anything, but we just thought we'd cover some headlines and then go into a deep dive of something that you might have heard floating around but didn't really understand.
Yeah. And I think, for people who are involved in the trade or are working or studying wine in the trade, it is a whole trade. It's not just about tasting or wine. People think that we, as a job, we just taste all day. That is a large part of what we do, but it's not the only part of what we do. And being across the industry and knowing the industry that you're working in or might want to work in, it really helps.
Yeah, for sure. So, look, this is the first time we're trying it out. We
could be a complete disaster.
We've got a rough guide of what we're going to do today, but I'm sure it's going to be perfected over the year. If you have any feedback or any tips, anything you want to talk about, make sure you get in touch. We'll be doing it once a month. But let's kick off, Meg. So the first thing that we're going to chat about is global wine exports. So they've actually declined by 2%. So this is Australia's exports in the last year. So it's sounds bad, but it's actually an improvement on the year before. So what's going on there?
Well, if you think about it, we went from, I think, almost a $2 billion export industry when we were exporting to China to under $1 billion. I think it bottomed out at $870 million.
That's huge.
So that's huge. That's the GDP of a small nation just in wine. And that obviously impacts on people's jobs and abilities for regions to survive. But what's been happening, this increase in exports, if you deep dive into it, the number of exports that go to Hong Kong have vastly increased, I think by 600% or something.
How does that even make sense?
What's happening is we're getting ready for China to open up. So people are sending their wine to Hong Kong. So when the mainland opens up, they are there. They don't have to have that huge shipment because imagine how many ships, if we do open, will be descending on China.
But what do you mean open up? Because isn't the FTA still not FTA, but we've been told that the tariffs, that's it. Like, how are we sending it if it's?
You can send it into Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And there has been a lot of grey trade. So grey trade is basically illegal trade.
Right.
So it gets shipped to one nation and then it gets shipped into, often illegally. They've picked up a lot of illegal imports going into China from of Grange and high-end wines that someone's obviously sending across and then trying to get across. Singapore and Hong Kong have been the two main depots for the grey trade to launch from into mainland China.
Yeah.
Because you can get it in other ways and through shipping, obviously. So I find that interesting. But the other thing that we've done and is we've – I hate the word pivot, but we've moved towards other export markets. So Korea's really booming.
Yeah.
We're finally revisiting Japan. We dumped Wine Australia, our marketing body, dumped Japan when China started growing. Japan was a big market for us in the 90s. And I remember being in Japan in maybe 2019 before the tariffs came in and them saying to me, we just feel lost. We don't have any representative from Wine Australia here. They used to have an office there.
Yeah.
No one comes here anymore. We just feel really lost. And this was at a time where the natural wine movement was particularly growing in Japan.
They're quite progressive aren't they?
Yeah. It's small. It's never going to be a China.
Yes.
It's never going to be UK or US. It's a small importer. But
in terms of volume, you mean it's small?
Yeah.
In terms of like wine education and confidence.
Quality, it's great.
Yeah.
And so we now have a Wine Australia person in Korea and Japan.
Yeah.
Thank God. So we are seeing more exports to those two countries.
Yeah.
Vietnam's a really interesting one because they had very high taxes and they've agreed to slowly drop them.
Mm.
Thailand's doing the same because the Thai government want more tourists to come to Thailand.
Huh.
And they believe that high wine prices is a detriment to tourists going out for dinner. And
it is.
Yeah. So you're paying.
You pay so much.
So say you pay retail here $10 a bottle of wine, you may pay $30, $35 for that in a restaurant, maybe $40. You're paying $120 Australian in Thailand. When we were in Thailand last year, I drank beer and cocktails.
Yep.
I did not have a single glass of wine. Same with Vietnam. When we were in Vietnam, we had one bottle of wine and it was some French Languedoc thing, big cooperative wine that was sort of €3 a bottle. I think we paid $80 for it. Yeah. And it wasn't even that nice.
No.
Better off drinking beer. So there's been movement with other countries for our exports. The US is a little bit stagnant. Australia's on the nose a little bit in the US because of what they term the critter wines. So I don't want to point the fingers at anyone in particular, but very jammy, quite sweet.
Look, think of the word critter wines and it might give away.
So we're trying, and Wine Australia, our body, is trying to reposition ourselves, stop with Brand Australia, which is a bloody stupid idea anyway, but don't start me on that. Trying to reposition ourselves as more of a premium producer, and that's great for the smaller regions.
And that's going to take time. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If it's done well, it will take time.
Yeah. And the UK's down. They're drinking less. They're drinking lower end.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen.
Is that cost of living stuff?
Cost of living. Cozy living, as they say.
Cozy lives.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen in the supermarkets in the UK now, they have locks on the fridges. That have the champagne in them.
Wow.
Whereas it used to be you just be like a dance. You could go to the refrigerated section. They've actually put doors and locks on them.
Oh, no. That's crazy.
Because
sign of the times.
Theft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's huge. They've noticed a huge increase. So that's sort of where we are sitting with our exports at the moment.
Are things looking up? Like this 2% decline, is it? Do you think it's going to improve?
Slow. And it should be slow.
Yeah.
We need to, you know, China was opportunistic.
Yes.
We just threw anything at it.
Went too hard.
And we need to educate.
Yeah.
Grow the markets, bring the people out, show them what Australia's like. We're lucky we have a very green image.
Yeah.
People believe that we make clean green wines, a bit like New Zealand. So we have that sort of image, but we are behind the eight ball in terms of exports. But even France and Italy's exports are down. You know, France's exports into China have really dropped. There's just people are drinking less, and it is this massive elephant in the room that we are just kind of ignoring at the moment.
Yes.
What do we do? I was reading an article the other day saying these flavoured wines, I don't know if you've seen them, so Brown Brothers are doing a white chocolate and raspberry ripple.
Oh, my God.
Moscato.
Is that the one with Messina? It's like a branded. Well,
it's a collab. It's like a,
it's Messina fancy bloody ice cream. Yeah,
bloody brilliant.
Yeah,
it's not wine. It's a gateway drink.
Yeah.
But you're always on to me about, you know, it's a beverage, it's not wine.
Yeah, it's true.
Certainly my son Elliot thinks it's pretty bloody delicious.
Really? Yeah. Is he into it? That's funny.
He's into it.
So I haven't tasted it. Have you tasted it?
No. Oh no, God. I have actually.
We need to get it
I have tasted it.
Yeah.
It's a pleasant drink. It's very sweet.
I feel like Moscato kind of tastes like ice
that
cream
anyway. That's the thing. I don't know that I noticed all the chocolate, white chocolate, ripple, raspberry stuff. But why not?
Yeah.
Why not make
adapt.
It if it brings in another segment of market that we hadn't previously had? So there's a lot going on in the industry at the moment.
Well, speaking of bringing in new consumers and doing stuff that we didn't have before, this is a really interesting one that Penfolds has another champagne now. Mm. So Penfolds, an iconically Australian company, came out a few years ago with a few fancier high-end type champagnes that were a collab with a champagne producer. But now they've come out with one that's a way more entry-level price, which is like a nice $80. What do you think is going on there? Why do Penfolds need champagne?
Penfolds as a brand is going back to being a premium luxury brand. They are, their marketing spend is all about luxury now. So when we think of Penfolds, we often think of the cheaper end of the wines as well, which is part
true.
Of.
They have those like.
Well, don't they Rawson's like, Run and you know, all
is that
those
branded Penfolds.
Well, it started out as the Penfolds stable. It became Treasury Wine Estates.
Yeah.
Then it was rebranded as a separate wine, but certainly a certain demographic would still think of that as being
you
a Penfolds.
You can still get
wine.
Like a $20 Penfolds, can't you? Like a bin, something, something.
Yeah, well, there's so many of them, I can never remember them.
Yeah.
But so they are repositioning themselves as absolute luxury brand. They tried to buy a winery in, was it Okanagan or somewhere? It was random, very, but the price was too high apparently. They didn't end up doing it. So they're doing a change. The only place that we're seeing real growth, but small, but growth nonetheless, we'll take 2%, is premium.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk to a big company like Treasury Wine Estate, premium is over $15.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
It is around that $25 to $45 mark. We're seeing growth. Certainly Korea's really interested in that area. Japan's really interested in that area. So, but it's tiny.
But, like, what do you think? Does it seem fitting to you, or does it seem wrong that an Australian producer has a champagne?
Well, they have a Californian wine, you know.
Yeah, they did something with Bordeaux as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they got Bordeaux. Then they were importing into China when the tariffs went up. They were doing a Californian with 6%. Do you remember this wine? It had 6% Coonawarra Cabernet or something in it. So they shipped the wine to California because they couldn't ship it from Australia. Then it was mainly grapes, and then it was sent to very clever, agile.
Yeah.
But they're a global brand.
Yeah.
It's like saying they're becoming a Pernod Ricard, I guess, global brand, and they're taking on a champagne. But it's not branded as Penfolds. It's actually called.
Well, it says Penfolds Cross. What is it? Champagne Fino?
Yeah, I couldn't.
How do you pronounce
it? T-I-E-N-O.
T-H-I-E-N-O-T.
T-H-I-E-N-O-T.
We all know that you notoriously can speak French but without a good accent.
Yeah, exactly.
So we would ask you.
Theonot.
Theonot. Theano. Yeah, Theano. Champagne
Theano. Well, if you
can't
pronounce it, you won't be able to buy it.
Yeah,
that's
this is not good to start. We'll have to have a taste and see what it's like. I find it really interesting that something that's positioned itself as iconically Australian is branching out with other internationals. Like it seems to kind of go against itself. But it must be working for them to have brought out a new one.
I think it is because their share price has been sort of in the gurgler. It's not been great. And I think I saw on the announcement of that it rose by 12%. The share price rose on the day of that announcement. So I think it's a good move for Penfolds because it is an iconic Australian brand. And if they just focus on luxury items, I think it's great. Some of the marketing stuff like the rocket ship container thing that they were doing for some wine. I'm less concerned about. I think they've drunk the Kool-Aid on some of it. But
yeah,
why not? You know, why don't we? Well, we do with Grange, certainly. It's up there with any first-class Bordeaux crew.
Yeah.
Should it be a French wine? Would it have been better with an Australian sparkling wine? Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
But they know their market. They're not stupid.
No. Very true. All right. Well, the last headline that we've got for today is a vintage update. So, look, we're early in the year. We're still in February, but we must know something about how it's going. How's it going, Meg?
Oh, no. What?
It's I've been asking everyone all around Australia, and for the most part, with the exception of WA and some parts of South Australia, challenging has been the term.
Okay.
Not necessarily at this end. It's been a very challenging growing season. So we had La Nina that we were told by everyone that was going to be gone by October. We were going to have a hot, dry summer. Everyone pruned to that, managed their vineyard to that. Obviously, there's no need for irrigation at the moment. And we've left a lot of crop on in some places because there's been a number of regions that have had fairly low vintages the last few years.
Oh, that's interesting. And so now there's been low vintages in the last few years, so people are leaving more crop on.
This year.
But that could impact quality in itself.
Well, it could. But I think this warm burst of weather that we've had the last couple of weeks along the eastern seaboard and even in South Australia and WA we've dodged a bullet. It could have all gone to blurp. But the quality, from what everyone says, is great. I think the Hunter is saying it's going to be their biggest year on record, which is not what Australia needs. We don't need the biggest year on record. We need a return to normal.
Yes.
So it's looking good. Look, in the Yarra, it's looking good. People were a bit worried about ripeness, but we've just had two or three days of over 30 degrees Celsius. That's certainly brought it in.
Yep.
People have had to start picking. It was an early year.
Yeah.
We have a guy at work called Raph Michael who was saying it's going to be 2 weeks early, 2 weeks early. Everyone else I was talking to was going, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Raph is the vine whisperer. He was completely right. So it's 2 weeks early-ish. It's a little bit earlier. But I think it's actually going to be a good year. Next week's lovely, sort of 25 to 28 every day. Cool nights.
Who kicks off first in Australia?
Hunter.
Around when now?
December.
Food? Hunter are picking in December.
So this has been the discussion. What do they call that wine? Is it vintage?
How are they so early then?
So with climate change, one of the effects of climate change is it brings vintages earlier and it compresses it. So grape varieties are ripening at similar periods, whereas they used to be very much, you know, it'd be in the Hunter, be Semillon, Chardonnay, Shiraz. Things are getting more compressed. I think the earliest I heard of in the Hunter was New Year's Day, but I'm not sure if anyone actually went in December this year because we did have a cooler year, so maybe they didn't. But the Hunter's usually the first to kick off.
Okay.
Tassie wouldn't have started. I think there's some Tassie sparkling base that's come through.
Yep.
I was talking to your winemaker, Leah.
Oh, yeah, Leah, yeah.
Yep. And she'd had some stuff, I think, out of Tassie, or it was coming that week. And Yarra Valley certainly in it, Barossa's certainly in it, South Australia certainly, you know, we're in the thick of things. The next few weeks, next 2 weeks will be the real boom time.
Cool.
And then it'll all start to tail off.
Okay, so challenging but not too bad so far.
I think it's going to be a good year. The acidities are really, well, certainly locally, Yarra Valley.
Because it wasn't as hot as we got told it would be, so it's
and
it's looking okay.
And the flavours are nice and, but I think it'll be good.
All right. Well, that's vintage and we'll do another update on that next month when we'll have a bit more to say. But now into our bigger topic where we'll go in a bit deeper this month, it is about the Riverland and oversupply and what is going on there, Meg?
So Australia is in a really bad state of oversupply of wine and, as a result, grapes. So at the moment in tanks there is 2.47 years worth of wine if China returned tomorrow at their original consumption rates.
Wow.
China's consumption has been decreasing since 2018, another elephant in the room that everyone's kind of ignoring. most of that, because we took to China, well, it goes back to the 1990s actually. In the 1990s, in 1996, Wine Australia and Australian Grape and Wine came out with the brilliant 2025 vision. We were going to plant all this vineyard to be reached by 2025. I think that vineyard area was reached in 2010 because the government had given rich dudes, lawyers, plant a vineyard, you become a primary producer, big tax reductions, run it at a loss for a few years, more tax reductions. So everyone was throwing money. So we reached our what we needed by 2025. Mind you, consumption's not growing. We're just continuing to grow it.
Yeah.
15 years prior to when we were due to get there. Then we had China. So it wasn't such a problem. China was absorbing a huge amount of wine, you know, millions and millions and millions of litres.
Wasn't there thoughts that they might be stockpiling it?
Well, it's so tricky. The other thing that was tied into that is the way the visa system worked for Chinese immigrants pre-COVID was that if you spent a certain amount of money in the country, you got your permanent residency. So people were buying up wine and then they were sending it to China because you had to do something with it. They had no market for it, but they'd done their job as far as visa requirements were required. We would have immigration officers ringing us saying, oh, can I send blah, 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 blah around, rah, rah, rah. It was big business. Yeah. I actually once gave a education to Chinese immigrants who wanted their PR, their permanent residency, and they just wanted to buy wine. And there were 40 people in the room.
Oh, wow.
And this was at a Box Hill immigration business office in Box Hill.
Jeez, okay.
So we were a lot of it was being absorbed and being sent to China. A lot of it was going under brands that had never existed. Benfolds probably being the most famous. But a lot of Australian wine thrown into Chinese brands. So no real skin in the game, and no marketing presence. China's retail distribution system is completely different to ours. We would normally have an importer, then a distributor, and then the retailer and the customer. They just kind of have an importer and then they'll sell to their mates, who then might sell to their mates, who might sell to a wine shop. So it was wasn't regulated. But anyway, so the Riverland, and not just the Riverland, the big inland irrigation areas were churning out lovely, soft, fruity, beautiful red wine. White wine was less successful, planting more red wine. China was taking it all. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Come the tariffs.
Maybe explain the tariffs because most people probably know, but it's worth going back into.
So as a response to Scott Morrison's ever diplomatic call for an investigation into the Wuhan lab that released COVID, the Chinese, with reason, I think, it could have been going through who, we have national, international bodies to deal with this, got a bit upset and slapped a 218% tariff on Australian wine. It wasn't just Australian wine. It was barley, coal, I think for a while, lobster, things that weren't really necessary. It didn't happen on steel, lamb, certain meat from certain abattoirs. So it hit a number of industries.
Yeah.
That effectively stopped the trade because a 218% increase in your cost of wine takes you out of the market. And Australia was mid-priced in China. So we had the tariffs. Things stopped overnight. We still saw a little bit of movement because people had stockpiled wine in China, so that was sort of ticking through. But companies that existed solely to export to China, done. There's nowhere to go. And where they were taking the fruit from was these warm, irrigated areas and large companies, Accolade, Treasury Wine Estate, Australian Vintage, Pernod Ricard to a lesser degree, were buying up these grapes.
Yeah.
And selling the wine into China being the main market. But that was a ton where it cost them $300 a ton. So that's opportunistic.
Yeah, it is.
They want the government to step in like what's happening in Europe because this isn't just – there's an oversupply issue globally.
Yeah.
And so in France you may have seen there's been demonstrations, they've been setting things on fire. because they want money to grub up their vines. So the French government have actually agreed to pay them money to pull their vines out, and they're going to plant almonds and things.
So I knew that France had done like a vine pull thing, but I didn't realise that they protested to get it.
Oh, my God. There's been arson.
What?
And the other day, a winery in Spain, because they're protesting about cheap Spanish wine coming into France, I think this was yesterday, €65 million worth of wine was – it was 65,000 litres, €215 million. And I'm thinking, what was the price per litre? Because that seems a lot. But anyway, it was 65,000 litres of premium quality wine was drained out of tanks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, an office was broken into. Someone was assaulted. they took Spanish wine when it came over the border and upended the truck, smashed all the bottles of wine. So it is global. We in Australia are less protesty.
Yeah.
the French, they love a strike.
Yeah, they do.
If you go anywhere in France in December, because that's Christmas time and trucks have to be delivering stuff, there's always a strike.
Yeah.
Petrol strike usually start and then it leads on from there. We haven't been doing that. There's a woman in the Riverland now, Dilma, I think her first name is, who's actually getting together a petition to take to the government to ask them to pay the growers $300 a tonne just to cover their costs. Now, in Europe, grape growing is subsidised. We don't do that here.
Mm.
We do subsidise a lot of other industries, but not grape growing. And I think in this time of crisis, with a cost of living crisis, that it would be great if the government did do something like that. Or, and this is very contentious and political, and I'll probably piss off a few people, there is a code of conduct that is supposed to be signed between grape growers and buyers. It is completely voluntary, saying that we will pay an honest farm gate price, blah, 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 blah. The big boys haven't signed it. So they're just taking advantage of the cheap position the growers are in.
And look, it's like it feels like everyone's in cost of living. That's fair that all industries are struggling. But wine is in, and particularly this area, is in a worse situation because of something that is a government issue. It's not our own fault.
Well, the government backed all this stupid planting. If they hadn't have given all these these incentives. My father bloody did it. He didn't go into grapes, but he went into horses. Good way to lose money.
Yeah.
You know, because he was making a lot of money out of the fashion industry. I'm going to lose it on the farm.
And like, and the China thing, the fact that they've stopped taking where most of this stuff was going, that's not the fault of the industry.
No. And China, well, that's right. Another political thing. Thanks, Scomo. But there are deep inherent structural issues within the industry. But even if China returns to the current consumptions, we've still got 2 years' worth of stock. That's not getting any younger. It's not getting any better. And we're harvesting now.
Yeah, so surely the stock is getting, like, we know why in it.
In France, they get paid to distill it. Can we not get some sort of subsidy to potentially distill the stuff that's really past its best? And that can go into fuel.
Yeah.
You know, there are outlets.
I'm guessing it's not super premium stuff that's in tanks.
No, and at this stage, those people would probably take 7 cents a litre. I mean, we heard that there was a bulk wine expo late last year that Australian wine was being offered for 20 cents a litre.
Oh, my God.
That would be well below cost of production.
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking. And the thing that in this article about the petition in Renmark, I think it was, she said she was a hairdresser on the side. Her husband was a grape grower. And she said, I'm getting less clients. They're cutting their hair every 3 months now because they don't have money. The restaurants are closing down.
It would have these flow-on
effects. Cinemas are not doing as well.
Yeah.
So it is a whole community. So there's got to be something that we can do.
Yeah. And it's really a government thing, right? Like if people are listening and want to do something, like it's really – like we can say buy Riverland Wine branded stuff, but
right? Well, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to do an episode next week on that just so that we – to show support. But you have to deep dive. So I did it online. Yeah. So because Dan's gives where it's from.
Yeah.
And because on the label it just says Australia or South Australia, you don't really know where it's from. So I particularly wanted next week a wine from Swan Hill and I wanted some Riverland wines. So you don't know where it's from. Cask wine seems to be very Renmano, obviously from Renmano. They sell it. But these young – I've just come back from judging Young Guns of Wines and some of the people are buying some of that fruit. We need to reposition – visit them.
Yeah.
We need to reposition them. We shouldn't. Why is Australia producing some of the cheapest wine in the world where our wage costs are so high? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So we it's almost like we have to explode the entire industry.
Yeah.
This bulk area of it, this volume area of it, and restart.
Yeah.
Reimagine the Riverland as being great Moscato country or great Fiano country or Sangiovese or but smaller volumes. But these guys don't have the money to replant, you know.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time that the larger companies have stopped buying grapes. And it's not their fault. That you can't say, well, you bankrupt yourselves to help the dudes up in the river.
Totally, yeah. It's business.
Yeah, it's business.
Yeah.
But there was incentives to plant vineyard.
Yeah.
It's gone horribly pear-shaped.
Yeah.
That was incentivised by the government, another Liberal government, just letting you know.
Borderline too political, but
okay. Anyway, I think everyone knows where I stand.
People know where you stand.
So help them out.
Yeah.
Just we've got a glitch. With fingers crossed, China could open up. We may hear in the next couple of weeks. We don't know. But it's still not going to absorb everything.
Yeah.
We have to restructure the entire industry.
Cool. Okay, so then if people see definitely not cool, but cool as in now we're informed. Yeah. So if people see these protests happening in the Riverland, that's what it's about. And hopefully the government listens.
Go and visit. Go and visit. That's the best thing you can do. Griffith? Go up there. Griffith. Renmano.
Rocks.
Yeah. Swan Hill, Mildura.
Yeah.
Anywhere along the Murray River. Do a tour down the Murray River and you know, buy half a case of wine. They're cheap wines. There's some really premium
good
wines
stuff,
as well.
Yeah.
Go to the local restaurants. Get your hair cut there.
So
that might be a bit dodgy, but get because, you know. I've just come for the hairdresser and you have a relationship with your hairdresser,
this is
don't
true.
You?
I'm sure they have nice hairdressers
up
there.
Yeah, I'm sure
though.
They do. Well, she sounded lovely and she's supporting her husband.
Tom used to do like podiatry. He used to do a week, like he used to get flown somewhere rural to do a week of podiatry somewhere rural.
Wow.
And it was Griffith. And so one week I just went with him for fun and I had no idea that Griffith is like Little Italy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I like the first morning I just walked into the first like coffee shop deli thing I saw and this man goes, ciao bella. And I was like, I love this place.
Yeah, it's great. And it is the food bowl of Australia.
Oh
I
my
mean,
God,
the produce
is
phenomenal. So don't go to Noosa this year. Don't go to the Gold Coast. Get in your car if you're on the East Coast and drive to Griffith or Mildura. Or Swan Hill or Renmano.
I've just done
a whole little trip that we're going to do post vintage.
Yeah.
I feel for them. We can't blame the big companies. We can blame the government. we have to find solutions rather than constantly focus on problems and the past.
Focus on blame. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing that they could potentially do, which is I've actually bought a wine that was sent to us by Tempest 2, is look at no and low alcohol, so mid-strength, because they can do volume.
Yeah.
You don't want to have huge grape prices. You want to have an honest grape price, but you don't want a huge grape price. It is a growth area, so why not? So I've bought a little Tempest 2, 6.8% lighten up Pinot Noir for us to taste.
Oh,
so
I've never tasted a Pinot
that
was lighter.
To us.
So this is our final drop for this week. Cool.
This is just a final drop and just a maybe this is a solution.
I love it.
I'm not saying it is, but it will help. And go out and buy this.
Yeah.
Because even if you think you're buying for the bigger companies, the flow on is to the grower.
Yeah.
That's the last stop. And then to the hairdresser. No one gets a haircut during vintage. Oh, that's quite fresh and cherry.
Yeah. You know what? I've never thought of Pinot Noir as a low alc. Like, I've only had Shiraz and stuff because in my head it's like there's so much flavour there that if you take out a bit of flavour, there's still a lot to compensate for what you've got. But it almost makes sense to choose something that's low alcohol in the first place, so it's not too much of a movement from where you've come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it ripens earlier, so it keeps its acidity, so you can pick it with lower alcohol anyway, so you don't have to de-alcoholise, as you're saying, as much. This has got lots and lots of cherry fruit. It's still, you know, alcohol's there for a reason. It has a slightly cooked fruit profile on the mid palate, but it's, I think, and this is going to be awful, do not take offence, Tempest 2.
Oh God.
But almost a seltzery thing from this. It's so fruity.
Oh my God, yum. That would actually be nice in the fridge.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think the fridge would knock back that bit of a hole in the mid palate where alcohol sits, because that's what chilling your wine does. It knocks back the alcohol. Yeah. So this may then make it a little bit longer. But maybe that's where we need to go. So Gen Zs, you are the guys who are drinking the No and Lows.
And look, it's still got flavour. I think the flavour might be a bit more simple than other Pinot Noir. But actually, well, I'll take the rest of that.
Yeah, 6.8%. I mean, how many standard drinks does that equate to in a bottle? Four
in a bottle,
So you and Tom could happily polish off that whole bottle tonight or whenever and drive home.
Well, I have to wait an hour and a half after every drink
glass,
to feed now. So this is
She's a very hungry young lady.
She is very hungry. She does make it easy. I haven't really had much alcohol yet. But
That's going to make it a little bit easier tonight. I'll pop it in the fridge before I leave.
Yeah, good
one. It just says Pinot Noir 2022 South Australia. It will be from the inland region somewhere.
Awesome. Okay, well, that was our news episode for the week. Definitely let us know what you thought. And as I say, if you have anything that has come up in wine that you want us to explore that you just weren't entirely sure and you want a bit more background or something,
we'll do the research for you.
That's it. Just let us know and we'll get into it. So back into normal episodes for the next few weeks. Next week, as Meg mentioned, we have Riverland. So we're going to taste some of these wines that we think buying them could actually do a little bit to help out the region. So we will see you then. And until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
Drink well.